This morning we see Jesus Christ, and he describes himself by saying, I am the true vine. The context of this passage, we're going to see Jesus is the vine, the source by which believers produce fruit. Jesus is the vine, believers are the branches. As we abide in him, we produce, as this passage will say, fruit, more fruit, much fruit. The passage deals with the believer and their fruitfulness. May we see how all of this fits together as we see this morning Jesus Christ as the true vine, and you and I as believers as the branches. Let's begin with prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God, and we thank you for the music that we've had this morning, the beautiful singing, and the opportunity as believers to sing praises to the name of Jesus Christ as we too sing to him. Lord, we thank you for the Bible. We thank you for John 15 as we look at Jesus as the true vine and we as the branches. We pray, Lord, that as we study this, we might understand our responsibility to abide so that we can produce fruit. We thank you, Lord, for the Word. We ask you now that you might teach us through your Word. We ask all of this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. It was one snowy morning at about 5 o'clock. A missionary candidate arrived at a missionary examiner's home. So he was there for an interview, and he was told, be there at 5 o'clock in the morning. When he got there, he waited for 3 hours before the man saw him. And when the man saw him, came into a room, and he said, can you spell? And the missionary candidate said, well, yes, sir. He was sort of puzzled. He said, spell Baker. Well, he spelled Baker. And he said, can you add? He said, yes, sir, I can add. He said, add 2 plus 2. So he did it. And then the guy looked at him and said, well, fine, I think you've passed. I'll tell the board. And the man got up and left. The next day, the examiner reported to the board of the interview, and he said this. He has all the qualifications. In fact, he showed the fruit of the Spirit. He said, I tested him on self-denial because I asked him to arrive at my home at 5 a.m. in the morning. And he came without complaint. I tested his promptness. He arrived right on time. I examined his patience. I made him wait for 3 hours. I then tested his temper, and he showed no anger or aggravation. I tested his humility by asking him questions that any 7-year-old could answer, and he showed no indignation. He is outstanding. He showed the fruit of the Spirit. How would you and I respond in such a situation? Would we show the fruit of the Spirit? What kind of fruit would you and I produce? What are we producing now in this passage? Are we producing no fruit? Fruit? More fruit? Much fruit. If we had to compare ourselves or describe ourselves as a plant, what would we be? Would we be a towering oak? Would we be a weeping willow? Would we be a tumbleweed? Or would we be a crabapple tree? As we move in John 15 this morning, Jesus is going to talk about Jesus as the true vine, and he's going to talk about fruitfulness of believers. Jesus is the vine, we are the branches. He says, abide in the vine. That means to have the fellowship, and there will be fruit and more fruit and even much fruit. And we're going to see this morning, this passage is dealing about your and our fruitfulness as believers. Now, before we get into the passage, there's a couple of things, a couple of big areas we've got to understand. Because, and be honest with you, as you look through this passage, it's pretty hard. There's some verses in there that if you don't understand how it fits together, you'll be confused. So there's two things we need to think about. One is the distinction between relationship and fellowship. There is a difference, and we'll talk about that in just a second. And then we need to understand what is fruit. When we talk about does a believer produce fruit and how much fruit and what kind of fruit, what is fruit? And we'll look at those two things. Let's first begin by looking at the distinction between a relationship and fellowship. In fact, this passage, he describes the relationship as the vine and the branches. He describes the fellowship as abiding. Now, think about this. A relationship is permanent, the vine, the branches, being in Christ. The fellowship is temporary. That's abiding in the vine. A relationship is like the father to child. It never changes. Fellowship is enjoying the relationship, and it sometimes changes. Let's talk about that for a second. Let's think about relationship. See, first of all, you and I have a relationship with God, with Jesus Christ, by faith. By trusting in Jesus Christ as our Savior, we have a relationship with the living God. John 1:12 says, as many as received him, talking about Jesus and talking about believing in him, to them gave he the authority to become what? The children of God. That's the relationship. And we have that relationship, and it never ends. We saw a couple of weeks ago in John 10, where Jesus says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall in no way ever perish. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, if any person be in Christ, they're a new creation. And so in that passage, we see this whole idea of a relationship. And in this passage, The relationship is described as the vine and the branches. Jesus says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you and I know Christ as our Savior, then we have a relationship with Him, and this passage describes it as the vine and the branches. But there's a distinction now in fellowship, because that's a little different. Fellowship's really enjoying the relationship, and you can lose your fellowship. You can break fellowship. There can be a change. Sin, if there's sin in your life, you can break the fellowship. Now, you can never break the relationship, but you can break the fellowship. Charles Ryrie makes the distinction this way. He says, we can enter, or we enter God's family by faith in Jesus Christ. The new birth is eternal, and we can never be cut off. But sometimes there comes a break in the fellowship between the father and the child. When we sin against our heavenly Father, He does not cast us out, but He is grieved, and we cannot enjoy fellowship. See, the eternal relationship can never be broken, but the fellowship can be interrupted by sin. So notice the distinction. Fellowship is permanent, and in this passage, it's described as divine in the branches. Fellowship is temporary, and in this passage, it's described as abiding. And we'll see that more. In fact, we're going to talk about the fruit because we realize that the result of maintaining our fellowship based on our relationship, there will be fruit in our lives. That's the key to the passage, producing fruit as a believer. The byproduct of abiding is fruit, and more fruit, and much fruit, as this passage says. And we're going to get details of fruit just a little bit later. We see the vine and the branches. Now, this is the last night of Jesus Christ's life. If you were here last week, we were in John 14, and it's the same time period. They've just had what we call the Lord's Supper. Sometimes we call it the Last Supper. They called it the Passover. And right in the middle of the Passover meal, Jesus changed it. He said, no longer will you look at this as the Passover, because now I'm the Passover. I'm the Passover lamb, and this bread represents my body, and this juice represents my blood. And so He made the change. We saw that He's already washed their feet. He's already told them about betrayal. He's already told them He's going away. He's already comforted them. He's already told them He's going to send the Holy Spirit. He's gone through all of these things, and now they're about to leave. And as they leave, He's going to tell them He is the true vine, and we're going to see that He wants to talk to them about producing fruit after He's gone. Let me break down the passage for you. It's just going to be in two big sections. First of all, we're going to look at verse 1 of chapter 15. We see Jesus is the vine. We're the branches. He's the source of the power. That's the relationship. Then in verses 2 through 8, which is the rest of the little passage there, we're going to see the aspect of producing fruit. That's dealing with abiding. We're going to see He talks about how He deals with the branches. We're going to see that abiding is necessary. We're going to see loss. In fact, we're going to even see what is the results of abiding or not abiding. We'll see all of that. It's a very powerful passage. It is one that you and I need. It is one that we need to be able to understand. Jesus Christ says, I am the true vine. I am the source of life and the source of fruitfulness. We are the branches. Let's begin. If you remember, they've been in the upper room. Jesus washed the feet. They've ate the meal. He's told them about the Lord's Supper, so to speak. He's told them that one of them is going to betray Him. He's talking about going away. He's told the Holy Spirit's going to come, and now they're ready to leave. And they leave the upper room, and they head out. Let me tell you what they're going to do. They're going to head out, go out the city, go down what we call Mount Moriah, down the side of a mountain, through a valley called the Kidron Valley, and then up the other side to another mountain called the Mount of Olives, where the Garden of Gethsemane is, and that's where they're heading. And as they head out, Jesus, they walk by what we call all kind of vineyards and everything, and Jesus points something out. Now, look at the very last part of chapter 14, verse 31. Look at the very last part of the verse. It says, arise, let us go from here. Now, they've been in the upper room, and now they're leaving. They've gone out the city. They've gone down the hill. They've gone across the Kidron Valley. And as they go, there are all these vineyards. And Jesus says, now, you see all those vineyards? Look, I'm the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. You're the branches. So He uses that probably as He walks by, He points that out. So let's begin as they walk, and Jesus talks about the relationship. He begins in verse 1 of chapter 15, and He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. He says, I'm the true vine. This is the seventh time in the book of John that He says these I am statements. We've got one more to go. We're going to see that next week as John chapter 11. But we'll see this one today. He says, I am the true vine. Verse 5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. So He's showing that He is the source. Jesus is the only way by which there can be any power. As the vine, He is the source. The branches connect to the vine. He's showing the relationship. He says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. In fact, in the next verse, He says, every branch in me. And that's talking about the connection with Jesus Christ. He is the vine. Believers are connected as the branches. This is that relationship that I was telling you about. He goes on to say also that my Father is the vine dresser. Vine dresser doesn't mean much to us, but literally it's the Greek word for farmer. He says, I'm the vine, my dad is the farmer. He's the one that deals with the vine. And we're going to see how he deals with it in just a minute. He says, I'm the vine, my Father is the farmer. He says, I'm the source of everything. I'm the vine. You're the branches. You connect to me. F.F. Bruce, an English scholar who just died recently, says this. He says, Jesus is the vine, believers are the branches, and the believers draw their life and their fruit production from the vine. Now, as we go on, the rest of this passage is going to be dealing with us producing fruit. See, he's leaving. He's already told them back in 14, I'm going away. Told them in 13 and 14, and they got all upset. That's why 14 starts, let not your heart be troubled. They're all upset because he's leaving. And he wants them to produce fruit after he's gone. So he says, now, by the way, you understand, I'm the vine, you're the branches. I'm the source of all the power. I'm the source of everything. And now the rest of the way, he's going to talk about producing fruit. Harry Ironside said this. He said, the theme of this section is fruit bearing. All which is conditioned on fellowship with the vine, which is the Lord. So all the rest of this passage is going to talk about producing fruit. Now, before we get into it, let's talk about what is fruit. I mean, people say, are you a fruitful believer? What does that mean? What is fruit? How can we know if we're producing fruit? What are the things that the Bible says is fruit? Well, first of all, in Romans chapter 1, verse 13, fruit is described as the salvation of someone. When you and I talk to someone about Jesus Christ and they trust Christ, that is called fruit on our behalf. In fact, Romans 1, 13, Paul says, I'm coming there so that I might have fruit among you, meaning that he was going to come and lead them to Christ. Some had already trusted Christ, some hadn't. And so anytime you lead someone to Christ, that's fruit. But there's more. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 10, any good work by a believer is considered fruit. In fact, in Colossians 1:10 it says, bearing fruit into every good work. So anytime you do good things in God's power, you're producing fruit. But there's even one more. And that's anything that in your life that comes out as Christ-likeness. Whenever you're controlled by the Holy Spirit and you produce Christ-likeness, you produce what is known as the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, goodness, meekness, you know, and all those. So in your life, you produce fruit as you lead people to Christ, as you do good works, and as you live like Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus wants his men here, these 11 guys, to produce fruit. He also wants you and I to produce fruit. He's going away. He said, if it wasn't that way, I would have told you I'm going away and I'm going to come back and get you. That's what we saw last week in John 14. But his goal for you and I is verse 8. Says, by this is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit. That's his goal. You and I bear fruit. As we see the passage, Jesus wants them to bear fruit. And by the way, there's something that's going to surprise you possibly. There are different levels. It doesn't really surprise you because you start looking around at your friends and people that you know in the body of Christ, those that you know are believers, and you look at it and you say, well, in some of their lives, I don't see any fruit. And in some of their lives, there's a little fruit. And in some of their lives, there's more fruit. And in some of their lives, there's a lot of fruit. There are different levels. And we're going to see Jesus talks about the different levels and how he deals with that in this passage. So as you look through it, think about your own life. Where do you stand? I mean, the first question might be, are you connected to the vine? And that's by faith in Jesus Christ. But we'll see more. He talks about the fruit. He begins with a branch that's not producing fruit. Look what he says, verse 2. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Now, we don't want to get messed up on this. Let's understand that every branch in him that does not produce fruit, he's talking about a believer. See, he's the vine, we're the branches. If you're in Christ, you're a branch. Now, he says there are some branches that are not producing fruit. In fact, the way this reads in the Greek, it says, every branch in me that is basically not producing fruit and has the idea of producing fruit now. It doesn't say that he never produced fruit. It just says that when he looks around and there's a branch that is not producing fruit, he's going to deal with it. And he says he deals with it by taking it away. We'll talk more about what that means in just a second. But there is true. You and I know there are believers who are not producing any fruit, at least not now in their lives. What does God do? He says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Every branch in me, every believer in me who does not produce fruit, who's not producing, he takes it away. Now, what does that mean? Now, I want you to understand that, of course, my Bible reads takes away, but literally the Greek word there is the Greek word iro, which means to lift up. It says, any branch in me that's not producing fruit, he lifts up. What does that mean? Well, it could mean two things. Number one, it could mean in the idea of removing. As 1 John chapter 5, verse 16 talks about sin unto death, it could mean that if you are a believer and you are not producing any fruit, that God may take you home, that He may lift you up and take you off the face of the earth. As 1 John 5 says, that's a sin unto death. You can be so far away from the Lord, you cannot be producing any fruit. You can be living, in a sense, your own life, and it may be that He brings you home. That may be what this passage means. Some people take it that way. Lift up could also mean something else. And when they grew vines in those days, sometimes they were on the ground, but when they were on the ground and they weren't producing any fruit, they lifted them up and tied them up so that they might produce. Many people believe that when He says, every branch of me that does not produce fruit, He lifts up, it's talking about God disciplines the believer. As Hebrews 12:6 says, whom the Lord loves, He chastens and scourges every child He receives. Hebrews 12, verse 11 says this, discipline is not joyful, but it yields the fruit of righteousness. Fruit. So it could be that He's saying here, that every branch in me, that if you're a believer and you're not producing fruit, then on one hand, He may take you off the face of the earth, which is what 1 John talks about, or He may discipline you. In a sense, train you up so that you will produce fruit. There's a story of a man who came into a park and he saw two little boys fighting. He goes over and he grabs one of them and pulls him off the side and begins to spank him. This other man was watching. He said, wait a minute, why are you punishing that little boy, but you're not punishing that little boy? And he said, this is my son and that one's not, and I always discipline my children. And God sometimes does the same thing. Any one of us as a believer who are not producing fruit, He may discipline us. As that passage goes on to say, what father does not discipline his children? And no discipline seems joyous at the time, but it yields the fruit of righteousness. That's Hebrews 12. And so in this first aspect, there is possibly right here, there's some branches who are connected, who are believers, who are not producing fruit. And one of two things could happen out of this. He could take you home, or He could discipline you. B.F. Westcott, who was a Greek scholar around the turn of the century, says this. He says, remember that even the unfruitful branches are true branches. They're in Christ. So this first branch that is not producing anything is a believer who is not doing what he's supposed to do, and he couldn't be taken off or disciplined. Well, let's go on. Look what else he says. He says, every branch of me that does not produce bear fruit, he takes away, lifts up. But every branch that bears fruit, what does he do? He prunes it, that it may bear more fruit. See, if it's got some fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. Literally, the Greek word there for prune is to cleanse. You know that if you've ever grown anything, and I've not, but I've talked to people that haven't, you know, you have these plants come out, I don't grow anything, let me tell you. If I touch that, it'll be gone. So I don't do it. But anyway, you know, you have these plants, and there's all these little things come out, they call them suckers and things like on tomatoes. They have to go out and you have to kind of prune it off so the best plants will make it, so it'll produce more fruit. This is what he says here. Every branch of me that has some fruit, he goes out and prunes it, cleanses it, that it may bear more fruit. And the pruning is a positive thing. I was over at the Derringer's house yesterday. They have these peach trees in the back of their backyard. But man, they prune those things. Every branch is gone. It looks like they've killed their trees. They haven't. They've done just what a wise thing to do. They've cut them back, pruned them so that they can produce. And that's what he says here. He says, the branches that have a look, they're producing some. I'm going to prune them so that they produce more. And what that means is there are going to be times that God is going to bring things into your life, cutting away the things that may be hindering your growth. And that's, he may do that sometimes. As Hebrews 12 talks about, it says, see, we've got this great cloud of witnesses. Let us run the race with patience, laying aside anything that's going to trip us up. And sometimes if you and I don't lay it aside, God will bring things in our life to lay those things aside so that you and I can produce even more for Him. In fact, as the goal says in verse 8, that we might bear much fruit. So we can see already that there are some who are not producing any fruit, and so He takes them away. It could be that He takes them off the face of the earth, or it could be that He disciplines them. That may be what it means by lifting up. But we also see that there are some who are producing some fruit, and when they do, He prunes them. He gets the things out of their lives that's going to slow them down, so to speak, and they produce more fruit. Now, right in the middle, He sort of stops, and He wants to make sure these guys understand what He's talking about, and He wants to assure them that they belong to Him. And that's what He says in verse 3. He says, by the way, you're already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. He says, and that takes us back into chapters 12, 13, and 14, where He talked about all of you are clean. He says, you all belong to me. You're all branches. I'm the vine. You're the branches. You're clean because of the word which I've spoken to you, the word of God. the salvation message. They understood this. And he just wanted to verify this to them because he's talked about being lifted up and being pruned, and that was not good sounding things to these guys. And it's not that good sounding to you. That if you have no fruit in your life, he may lift you up. He may take you off the face of the earth. He may discipline you. And as you begin to produce fruit, God is going to be pruning you so you can produce even more. And now in verse 4, he comes to the key of the passage, the key thing, the way to produce more fruit. And the way to produce much fruit is to abide, and this is the fellowship. Now, what he's been talking about so far is relationship. You can't lose your relationship. He's the vine, you're the branches. There are some branches that aren't producing, and there's some branches that produce a little, but now he's going to talk to us about how we can produce more fruit and much fruit. And that's in verse 4, and he talks about abiding. Look what he says, abide in me and I in you. See, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. He says, abide in me. See, remember, the relationship cannot be broken. Abide in me and I and you. As a branch cannot get in, a branch can't produce unless it's connected to the vine. You can't unless you abide in me. Unless that branch abides in the vine, there will be no production. Unless you abide in a vine, there will be no production. All he's saying is, if you want to produce fruit, you're going to have to abide. Now remember, abiding is fellowship. You don't have to abide. In fact, we're going to see in verses 6 and 7, if you abide and if you don't abide, what happens? Now the relationship is permanent. The abiding is fellowship, and it's not permanent. You can lose your fellowship. He says, abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. Spurgeon said, the main thing is not activity, it is abiding in Christ. The fellowshipping. Here's the emphasis in verse 5. He says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. That's the relationship. He who abides, this is different. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears what? Much fruit. So we've already seen no fruit, and then fruit, and then more fruit, and now we're seeing much fruit. He says, he who abides in me, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. See, to abide is to maintain the relationship. For you and I, that means maintain the fellowship. Let me say it in a better way. Maintain our fellowship where you and I meet with our God and we spend time with him and we read the word and we obey him and we spend time with him. That is abiding. That's our fellowship. The relationship can't change. You're always going to be a child of God. You're always going to be the branch connected to the vine. He says, abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He says, without this, there is no fruit. To produce fruit, there must be the abiding. From fruit to more fruit to much fruit. That's the relationship. I like the way it ends because he says, for apart from me, you can do nothing. And that Greek word means no such thing ever. Not you can do a little bit. You can do nothing. It is the truth that there can be no production in our lives. There can be no fruit in our lives. There can be nobody come to know the Lord. There can be no true good works. There can be no fruit of the Spirit unless we abide in Christ, unless we're connected to him in that sense and we're maintaining that fellowship. Without him, you can do nothing. I can do nothing. So he's talking about fruit. He's talking about production. He says, I want you to produce. Some of you are not producing anything. He says, I'll take you away. He says, the ones that are producing, I'm going to prune them so they can produce more fruit. And then the ones that are abiding, I mean, they're really in abiding, they're going to produce much fruit. We see so far in this passage the idea of the relationship and the fellowship. The relationship is the vine and the branches, and it's never going to end. The fellowship, though, is based on the abiding. And when you abide, there's fruit. Some have no fruit. Some have a little fruit, and he prunes. And some have fruit, and they continue to abide, and there is much fruit. Now, this is important because I want you to stop and think for a minute. What about your own life? You know Jesus Christ is your Savior, so he's the vine, you're the branch. Examine your life for a second. Do you have fruit? Would he be able to say to you, every branch in me, you are not producing fruit, I'm going to have to lift up? What about your life? Is there production in your life? Are you producing fruit? Are people coming to know the Lord? Are you doing the good works and the power of the Holy Spirit? Do you have the Christ-like life by the fruit of the Spirit being evident in your life? Are you producing fruit? Are you abiding? It's very important. Because the rest of the passage, he's going to talk to us about what happens if you don't abide? What happens if you do abide? In fact, that's what we'll see the rest of the way. He's going to give the negative. What if you don't abide in Christ? and then he's going to give the positive, what if you do abide? Now, let me make this clear. It has nothing to do with your relationship. It has to do with your fellowship. Your relationship is secure because it's based by faith in Jesus Christ. You have eternal life. He's the vine, you are the branch. It can never change. But your fellowship can. What does he say? Let's look at the negative first. Verse 6, he says, now, what if you don't abide? Verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, if you don't maintain your fellowship in me, why, he's thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them in the fire, and they are burned. You know what he's saying? Listen, the whole goal here is for you to produce fruit, and if you don't abide with me, you don't have the source, in a sense, to get all that good power, and you're not going to produce any fruit, and you're going to be like a branch that just withers away, and they pick them up and throw them in the thing and burn them up. He says there's not going to be any fruit. There won't be anybody come to know Christ. There won't be any good works in the power of the Holy Spirit. There won't be any Christ-like life in your life because you're not abiding. He says, if you do not abide, you're thrown away, you dry up, there's no production. Remember, the relationship is permanent, but the fellowship is not. And with fellowship comes fruit and production. If you don't abide, there's no fruit. The branch withers and it is burned because he is the source of all strength. And apart from abiding in him, you can do nothing. You want fruit in your life? You're going to have to abide. He says, if you do not abide, there is going to be no fruit. What about if you do abide? You know what? There's three things, and they're all positive. Three things that we see as the result of abiding. Let me read both verses together here, verses 7 and 8, and you see if you see them. Look at verse 1. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it shall be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. We're going to see that there are actually three things. Three things the result of abiding in Christ. The first one is answered prayer. Look what he says in verse 7. If you abide in me, and by the way, in the Greek that's what we call a third-class condition. That means maybe you'll abide, maybe you won't. He's not talking to his men about maybe they're going to lose their salvation or not. He's saying whether they're going to abide, whether they're going to maintain that fellowship with him. And he says, if you abide, maybe you will, maybe you won't. And we could say the same thing to each one of us in this room. Maybe we'll abide, maybe we won't. Maybe we'll maintain our fellowship, maybe we won't. He says, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, guess what? Ask whatever you wish, and it shall be done for you. Answer prayer. Whatever you ask shall be done for you. Now, we've got to be real careful. Because there are people who teach today that you go to God and he's obligated to give you anything you want. I want a Mercedes and I want it now. And since you've been sort of, you know, you're supposed to get it, right? No, you must understand that this is not a blanket statement. But according to 1 John chapter 5, that when you ask, you must ask according to God's will. And when you ask according to God's will, you know that he hears you. And when he hears you, he gives you what you ask for. Now, abiding in Christ means that you're going to be so close in fellowship with God that the things you're going to be asking for are going to be the things according to the will of God. You're going to maintain your relationship, maintain that fellowship with him. And so when he says, when you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you ask what you wish and it shall be done for you. It means you're going to ask the things that are according to God's will, and God, he always answers the prayer, yes, according to his will. So when you and I are so close of a relation, close of fellowship with our God, that we are lined up with him, that when we ask, he will give it to us. Because we're going to ask the things according to the will of God. Because we're maintaining our fellowship. So answered prayer is one. Not all answered prayer, not just everything you name and want it, but because you line up with his will. Second thing, look at verse 8. There's more. It says, now by this is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit. Number two is when you abide, God gets the glory. When you abide, God is glorified. How? Because you're producing much fruit. When you and I are abiding in Christ and we get answered prayer and God gets glorified in our lives because we are producing not fruit and not more fruit, but much fruit because we abide. See, God gets all the glory because, see, apart from him, you can do nothing. You and I can't ever say, look at all this stuff, right? Look at this fruit. Have I done a lot or what? No. It's because we've been connected to the vine, and we're just the branch, and apart from him, we can't do anything anyway. And so he gets all the glory when we abide because we say it's only because of the glory. It's God's glory. It's through him that we get any of this. There's one other thing. He says, by this my Father will be glorified that you bear much fruit. And then number three, and so prove to be my disciples. See, when you abide in Christ, not only will there be answered prayer because it's going to be lined up according to the will of God, not only will God be glorified because you produce much fruit, but then it will be proved or shown that you are his disciples. You're his disciples. You're the ones who live for him. Now remember, there's a difference between being a believer and a disciple. Being a believer costs you nothing. You put your faith in Jesus Christ. It's a gift. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not yourselves, it's a gift of God. It doesn't cost you anything. Being a disciple costs you your life. If you're not willing to take up your cross, that means give your life for Christ, then you cannot be his disciple. And he says, when you abide in him, when you're maintaining that fellowship, then not only will there be answered prayer, and not only will God be glorified because there's fruit in your life, more fruit, much fruit, but then people would know that you're his disciple, that your life is for him. That's why Romans chapter 12 says, offer yourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's discipleship. Not every believer is a disciple. Not every believer abides. Not every believer produces much fruit. There are some that have no fruit and they're taken away. There's some that have a little fruit and he prunes. There's some that have that continue to abide and they produce much fruit. And that's what he's talking about. Are you and I abiding? There'll be answered prayer based on God's will. God will be glorified because of the fruit, and you and I will show to be his disciples. This passage is a powerful passage because Jesus wants the men to understand about producing fruit. He wants you and I to understand about fruit in our lives. See, he is the source. He's the vine. They are the branches. You and I are the branches. That's the relationship. There are some believers, no production. He lifts them up. There are some who are producing, and he continues to deal with their life so they might produce more fruit. It's possible as we abide and maintain this fellowship, because apart from him, there's nothing. And he gives us the negative and the positive. If you don't abide, there's nothing there. If you do abide, answered prayer, God is glorified, and you prove to be a disciple.